Nate Ulrich covers the Browns for the Akron Beacon Journal. He joins us now on the Revel Wireless Hotline. Nate, as we approach this draft, I think one of the really interesting scenarios among many is the potential for trade. And the discussion either centers around the Browns doing something to move down from their sixth position involving picks, or involving the addition of a pick, or trading a player, or maybe even two. I mean, you hear the names of Jabal Sheard and you hear Ataba Rubin, and speculation that they may want to move one of those guys to get involved with, again, better positioning in the draft. I'm sure you're all ears about all of that.
Oh, absolutely. And I think that, you know, predicting a trade down from number six is probably one of the safest bets you can make right now. I mean, you can pick from a number of players, but I think the bottom line is that the Browns want to trade down. That's not to say they couldn't take a guy at six. They certainly could. But, man, I mean, without that second-round pick, I think they really want to get that back, and a trade down from six could accomplish that. So, you know, I'm not one of the people who thinks that, you know, they're missing the second round pick or saying that in a negative way, because I think Josh Gordon was a really good pick last year in the supplemental draft.
Right.
But I think the new regime looks at this set of draft picks that it inherited and it wants a second round pick, because I think it's just natural. I think obviously that's an important pick. You hope to get a starter in that position in the draft. And also, you know, these new guys, Mike Lombardi, Joe Banner, they want as many of their quote-unquote guys as they can get. So, you know, having that extra second-round pick is, hey, that's another, you know, one of their guys who should project as a starter if they can get that pick back.
That's a fair thought about wanting to maximize their chances to, quote, get players that they identify for this draft versus the people that they're inheriting, but not, again, that all the people they're inheriting can help this team out. And I'm not entirely sure, by the way, in reference to Sheard and Rubin, that those guys don't have a place in this 3-4 defense. It's easy to speculate, well, they were part of a 4-3, they were specifically thought of as those kinds of players, that it would be a tougher conversion. And the Sheard discussion going from end to outside linebacker brings with it some uncertainty, if not a lot of uncertainty. With Rubin, I don't know. I guess I see just a player who could be strong in any defense, that you put him in a 3-4 or a 4-3, and he's going to get the job done.
Well, he has so far. I mean, that's the thing that you got to like about Rubin's chances. The role is different, though. I mean, when you talk about the guys who have the biggest adjustments, and, I mean, you know, on defense, as they switch from that 4-3 to this, you know, 3-4, you know, hybrid or multi-front scheme, whatever you want to call it, that Ray Horton's bringing here, I think you got to look at Jabal Sheard and Rubin as the guys who have the biggest hurdles to clear. And as far as making that transition, a lot of people might say, you know, DeQuell Jackson too. But DeQuell Jackson's play that inside linebacker spot in the 3-4 defenses. This one, obviously, you know, this scheme's a little different than other ones. You know, it's like he said last week at minicamp. Because it's more, you know, attack-oriented, and he really likes that. I think he'll be blitzing a lot more. But back to my original point, yeah, I think Sheard, obviously, hey, he's played 4-3 end his whole life. You know, he's going to have to stand up as a 3-4 outside linebacker. His hand's not going to be in the dirt as much. It will be, you know, if he sticks around and is, you know, on the field for passing downs when they, you know, go to a four-man front and nickel, he can slide down. But most of the time, he's going to be on his feet. He's going to be asked to drop back in coverage, and that's probably the biggest adjustment for him that he'll have to show he can do if he's going to make this transition successfully. And as far as Rubin, yeah, he's succeeded in a 3-4 and a 4-3, but in a 3-4, he kind of had his breakout season under Eric Mangini, and that was as a nose tackle. And in a 4-3, he excelled a year later as a defensive tackle. And this year, you know, he's going to have to be, you know, he's going to be asked to move to defensive end in a 3-4. So it is a little bit different. I tend to think that, you know, I agree with DeQuell Jackson when I asked him about Rubin adjusting to, you know, an end in a 3-4, something he's never done. And DeQuell said, that's one guy you don't worry about. Because that guy, and you alluded to it, Vic, he's one of those guys that just, he's everywhere on the field. And Ray Horton says he wants big men who can run. And Ataba Rubin is basically the epitome of that.
We're visiting with Nate Ulrich, who covers the Browns for the Akron Beacon Journal here on the Rebel Wireless Hotline, Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Now, I think the other part about the Sheard element of a potential trade is what the Browns do at six, or what they do pretty much anywhere in the first round, wherever that might be, if they go for an outside linebacker. And I don't know that the scenario has to play out that they would make that pick first before then you'd realize that you've got an expendable player in Sheard. In my mind, you can't have enough of those guys. I'm in favor of having it all, meaning that if you draft that outside linebacker, you still see what you have with Sheard at outside linebacker. You know you already have Paul Kruger. You've brought in Quentin Gross. And then you just take the approach that we want to come at you with as many different possibilities as you can. I also understand there are only so many roster spots too, and you got to keep that in mind. But it seems to me that you enhance – your level of getting that dominant pass rush, which I believe is what is going to define this defense more than anything, by going that route.
Yeah, I agree. I wouldn't be surprised if the Browns picked the pass rusher at six, or if they, for that matter, traded down and picked a pass rusher and still kept Sheard. I also wouldn't be surprised if they picked one, a pass rusher at six, traded down and picked one and traded Sheard. So I could see him picking one up in the first round, keep him, picking one up and trading him. But it just kind of depends on the level of faith they have in him making this transition. And, Vic, we really don't know what right. that level of faith is. I mean, and maybe they're not entirely sure. They probably have a decent idea, but, I mean, they've only got to see him, in that three-day voluntary minicamp last week on the field. So, if they're open to experiment with him more and they think that, he has something to offer in this scheme, then, yeah, I could definitely see him picking him regardless if they pick another guy who's going to play that position, because that depth in that front seven is so key. And you mentioned it. I mean, their philosophy is all about pressuring, attacking, getting after the quarterback, and you need those outside rush linebackers to do that in this scheme. I mean, those are the guys who get all the sacks, and those are the guys who really, really, key this defense that Ray Horton wants to bring here.
The brief look we got of Sheard at the mini camp, he looked the part, I mean, in terms of being a little leaner than I think we saw, because he made an effort to get bigger last year from his rookie season in 2011. And he achieved that to be more stout at the end, at the point of attack, and set the edge. And I think now you're looking at a guy who knows he's got to drop into coverage, so he's had to change his body around a little bit to deal with that. The other part of this conversation, of course, is corner, and what do they do with that position in this draft? Because if you go outside linebacker, when and where do you get that corner? Who is the corner? And then can you rely on who you have? I mean, Buster Screen, we saw line up at corner in minicamp. We saw they did the same thing with Chris Owens out there as well. But I'm just not sure if this team can honestly say it has a definitive guy to play opposite Joe Haden.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see any way it can right now. I just don't see a starting caliber corner opposite Joe Haden right now on the roster. And, I think Buster Screen is probably, a guy that you want in your dime package. He's probably a fourth corner if you have a really good secondary. And, frankly, that's what he was last season. I mean, he's still a young player. I'm not saying that he can't ascend in his career. But, last year you had Sheldon Brown and Joe Haden starting, and Dimitri Patterson was the nickel to start the season. Obviously, he had an injury-plagued season and then was eventually cut in December. But Buster was fourth there. So that's probably where you want him. And, right now he's number two on the depth chart. As you said, he was practicing with the ones in minicamp. So I just think that, corner is such a crucial need for this team that, if D. Milner is there at six, man, I think it would make all the sense in the world for the Browns to take him. I do think they want to trade down, but if Milner's there and they like him enough, then maybe they just pull the trigger. They stay put at six and they take D. Milner, because it seems like a no-brainer. If, he is as good as a lot of draft analysts think he is, and if the Browns agree with that opinion. If not, maybe they trade down and take another corner, you know, later in the first round. You know, a guy who can step in and start, you know, Xavier Rhodes, Florida State. DJ Hayden from Houston's been highly touted lately by Mike Mayock from NFL Network. Desmond Trufant's another guy. Those are kind of the second-tier first-round corners, if you will. And Dee Milner, supposedly, you know, the cream of the crop. But I wouldn't be surprised if the Browns ended up getting one of those other guys that they traded down. Or, you know, hey, if not the first round, I don't think they can wait longer than the third to get a corner. I mean, I think you really got to bring somebody in. And if you're waiting for the third round to get a starting caliber corner, you better hope you get a bargain.
So many scenarios to ponder, Nate, and we're going to be watching them all this week. Thank you so much for joining us, my friend.
Anytime, Vic. Thanks.
He is Nate Ulrich. He covers the Browns for the Akron Beacon Journal, and he joins us on the Revel Wireless Hotline. And we have got much more coming up on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.